The following sermon by Bible teacher John MacArthur is brought to you by Grace to You and its faithful supporters. For more information about John's ministry, visit gty.org.
We're so privileged here at Grace Church to have seen the hand of the Lord on our congregation for many, many, many years and decades, and God continues to bless our church. I continue to be amazed. I awake every day with an overwhelmingly heavy burden of gratitude on my back to thank the Lord for all that He has done, for wonderful people to work with and wonderful congregation of folks, all of you. It's never about the place. It's always about the people, and I continue to be so profoundly grateful for the people that God has assembled here in this wonderful church and from this church scattered around the world through the years to carry the gospel to other places. And the Lord is continuing to bless our church. I can honestly say there has never been a time, at least in my recollection, in the history of Grace Church, when we have known more blessing from the Lord than we are now experiencing. For our church, these are the very, very best of times, and God's grace is super abundant to us all. And I rejoice in that. I continue to rejoice in that. And I always believe that we're always sort of on the edge of the best of times. And I don't think it's just some kind of optimism. I think it's just a confident faith that God continues to build on the truth and continues to build on faithfulness. And the future days of Grace Church are going to be more wonderful, more fulfilling, and we're going to be more useful than we've ever been. And I say that as a way to sort of introduce the fact that there are probably a lot of you who are disappointed with the election. Would that be a safe assumption to make? And I just want you to know that what happens in the political world, what happens in the halls of temporal power in the United States of America or anywhere else has absolutely nothing to do with the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of Christ does not rise or fall. It is not diverted or directed. It is not hindered, and it is not aided by anything going on in the temporal world. You have to understand there are two kingdoms in the world. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And whatever is not a part of the kingdom of God is a part of the kingdom of Satan to one degree or another. So we really don't expect compatibility between the two. But when I think about the separation of church and state, I view the separation of church and state as a separation of the kingdom of God from the kingdom of Satan. And why would we want to partner in that? There are many, many verses of Scripture that affirm the future of the church. There are none that affirm the future of any political entity. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And the Lord Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. And whoever comes to me, I will not turn away. But I will receive, and I will keep, and I will raise on the last day. The Lord will build His church. God, says Paul, causes us always to triumph in Christ. So the triumph of the church is assured. The kingdom will go forward. The elect will be brought in. And the name of Jesus Christ one day will be exalted. Having said that, I also want to say that the Bible does not exalt democracy. The Bible does not advocate democracy. There is nothing about democracy on the pages of Scripture. It is simply a human mechanism that has been devised to provide freedom for people. It's really a reactionary form of government from those who've been abused under some kind of autocratic system. But the Bible doesn't advocate democracy. In fact, wise people understand that built into democracy is its own destruction. It was in 1790 that Alexander Tytler, who was an Edinburgh professor of history and had studied the Greek cities and the Greek democracies, said this: a democracy is a temporary form of government because as soon as the people discover they can vote themselves large amounts of money out of the public treasury, it collapses under the financial burden. And that is exactly what happens. And Tytler said, it's inevitable apparently at about a 200-year period. You give 200 years to a democracy, and the people will discover that they can get money by electing the people who will give them money and not the rest of the people, and eventually the demands of the people who are the takers will overwhelm the ability of the givers, and the system will collapse. First, it'll collapse into debt, think 17 trillion, and more, And they will continue to elect the people who give them what they want until the entire thing collapses. And you can look at Europe and see what is the outcome of that. So there's nothing sacred about democracy. Well, what will happen, according to what Titler said, was democracy starts in a desire for freedom from bondage and ends up in bondage, because eventually it sells its soul back to the government to get what it wants from the government, and then the government takes ownership, because freedom is defined as choices. And the more choices you give to the government, the less choices you have, and that's what defines your freedom, and eventually they take all your freedoms. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the future there are less and less and less freedoms that people in America enjoy. Right now, they're willing to make that exchange for two reasons. They're willing to make it, number one, for the sake of money in their pocket, and number two, for the sake of immorality. If the government will let them have free sex, homosexual marriage, and abortion, they're fine. They're okay with that. And as we pointed out to you before the election, when you have a platform of a party being remove God, affirm free sex and government-provided contraception, homosexual marriage, and abortion, when that's the platform, you know how far that nation has gone into immorality. And when the people vote it into power again, that either means they advocate that kind of life or they're indifferent to it, as long as you keep giving them what they want. So there's a real tipping point, I think, that's happened in our country. You know, I don't mind the darkness getting darker. I don't mind the illusion of morality going away. I don't mind the darker environment in this sense, that the darker the night, the brighter the light. But the church has to step up and be the church and proclaim the gospel and confront the culture. That's what we have to do. And when we do that, what's going to happen is persecution, because they're already talking about hate speech, and the categories of hate speech are going to escalate as the immoral country begins to try to defend itself and isolate itself and not face the reality of its immorality. So the church then has to become prophetic. We've got to drop the self-esteem stuff, the prosperity gospel, all the superficiality, all the feel-good things, and we have to step up and confront the culture. Sometimes people say to me, do you worry when you say certain things about abortion or homosexuality or immorality, or when you bring these issues up? Well, the only thing I worry about is, am I being faithful to God? Am I being faithful to the Word of God? Whatever happens in response to that is completely in the hands of God. But I do know this, nothing good will happen unless sin is confronted and the gospel is proclaimed. So we're committed to that. I think persecution may come, and if it comes, it'll purify the church. It always does, because fake Christians won't be persecuted. So they have a way of disappearing, and you're left with the true church. So, and I think in the future, even from a ministry standpoint, Christian people who've been wasting their money giving it to political organizations to try to affect the advance of the kingdom through some political means are going to stop doing that, because they now found out it's not going to work. It came and went. It had a brief life, bore no fruit, and died. So in the future, I hope Christian people will start putting their money in gospel-oriented, kingdom-advancing ministries and not into politics. I've said that all along, but now there are some folks who might be listening because they don't want to keep wasting their money. We have the president we have as a judgment from God. That is a judgment from God. He is an evidence of God's judgment because of Romans 1. God has given us over. When those who know God glorify Him not as God and do not like to retain God in their knowledge, which is what the Democratic platform said originally, get God out. And by the way, that's a big change. 4 years ago, McCain, Obama, interview at Rick Warren's Saddleback Church, both affirmed to be Christians, both affirmed to believe in Jesus Christ. That all went by the board, and God was removed 4 years later because that wasn't going to be popular this time around. So that kind of accommodating religion has been unmasked. But the bottom line is, Romans 1 says that if you do not retain God in your knowledge, if you do not glorify Him, His wrath is unleashed. And it's talking about the cycle of history. Acts 14, God allows all the nations to go their own way. And we're going our own way. We're going the way of our own choices. And when the wrath of God is in motion, God gives them over, this is His wrath in motion, to sexual sin. And that's what we've got, sexual sin that is rampant. Over 50% of adult women are single, and men as well. This kind of single life with this promiscuous kind of behavior everywhere is what this generation wants. But that's an evidence of wrath, the smashing and crushing of the family. And then the next one, verse 26, he gave them over to homosexuality. And now we are not only tolerant, but advocates of that. And then he gave them over to a reprobate mind, and that includes murder and all kinds of other crimes, which would include abortion, over 70 million infants in the safe place of the womb slaughtered. Romans 1 ends by saying, they know the judgment of God because it's written in Scripture, but they not only do it, but they give hearty approval to those who do it. They elect the people who advocate this stuff. That's an evidence of divine judgment. So know this, this nation is under judgment. Whatever might have been in the past, God has always judged individual and personal sin, but eventually in a people it accumulates to the point where God abandons a nation, and I think there's going to be even less restraint in the future as God pulls back and lets this nation go to the consequence of his own choices. Now that's not the end of the story, because that's only Romans 1. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and even to the Gentile. So the answer to the issue is the preaching of the gospel of Christ.
You've been listening to Bible teacher John MacArthur, founder and featured teacher with Grace to You. John MacArthur and Grace to You reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. Our copyright policy is available at our website, gty.org, and includes instructions and limitations on duplicating this digital file. Again, the website is gty.org.